You know, we look around in our world out here, and it seems like last year or so, as we've been going downhill, it's just kind of unbelievable. You know, the things that's been taking place in our nation and in all our world. Everything seems to have been taking a turn for the worse. So I'm going to be talking about some different things on that. Father, we look to you tonight. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness. Holy Spirit, we depend on you tonight, and we're trusting that you will give us a word, Lord, from your heart, Lord, and that will penetrate our lives, God, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would accomplish something in each one of us here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have a real mess out there in our country. Our government and our country is full of chaos, wickedness, lies, falsehoods, corruption, immorality. They're being perpetuated by government officials, big tech, university professors, news media, and all those in authority. It's like it's just wild and rampant, and it just seems like, boom, all of a sudden, there it was. And it's really, you know, a very serious time. So I ask a question. What does God require of us? And how did we get to the place where we're at right now? You know, when I think about that a little bit, I think one of the things that happened over the years, the church decided that we just concentrate on the church and the family maybe a little bit, but mainly the church. We don't want to get involved in politics. That's for the bad people out there. We don't want to get involved in a lot of these other places. So basically what we've done, we've cooped ourselves up in our churches and let the devil have all of these other areas of influence. The media, the, you know, the news, all that stuff, the schools, government, education, all of that stuff is, we just let the devil have it. And so we have a real problem here. Basically, what we've done, we've raised a godless generation of young people who know nothing about God, and we as a nation are paying the consequences for it. That's what's really tragic. So what does God require of us? And how did we get to where we are now? You know, I want to encourage you on something. God has had his hand on your life since before you were even born. He created you. He had plans for you. He's had his hand on your life. From eternity past, he created you. He knew you from before he ever created the world. Our God is a big God. He's an awesome God. So what is God like, and how does that relate to me today? I want to look at that relationship and see how it has impacted us over time. You know, when you, I remember one time a pastor, a church that we were going to, on the door of one of the pastors, they had this sign. The main thing is to make the main thing the main thing. You know, it sounds kind of corny in a way, but, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. Sometimes we can get sidetracked on the other things, but the main thing is to make the main thing the main thing. When you study the Bible from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, even though there are multiple authors, you'll discover a theme and a continuity that flows through the whole Bible. Make the main thing, the main thing, the main thing. God was way ahead of us on that. We discover that Adam and Eve, our first parents, sinned and passed that sin down to all generations. And an innocent animal had to die because God had to kill an animal to get the skins to make clothing for Adam and Eve. So an animal had to die that paid for the penalty of sin. We learn that we're sinners and we're deserving of death. And we've all fallen short of God's requirements. And it is impossible for us to save our own selves from God's judgment of our sins. Impossible. We can't do anything. We cannot save ourselves. There's nothing we can do. We can't pay enough money. We can't live good enough to make it. But this continuity of God's dealing with mankind, and you see it through the scriptures, is only possible because the writers of scripture wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So somebody just didn't decide, "Oh, I'm going to prophesy." No, it was God that moved on their hearts to prophesy. So it was God that gave the unction for them to do that. And then he gave the words, gave the message that they were to speak. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture," not just a few of them, but all scripture, "is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness." He covers all the bases there. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, when we need correction, instruction in righteousness, how to live the kind of life that we need to live. That's what Scripture is. And it's been given by the inspiration of God. Didn't come from man, just decided to start writing down some good stuff. No, it was from God. So let's look at our life and try to discover where we are now and how our life relates to God and His purposes. First of all, God created us with a plan and a purpose. Every one of us have a plan and a purpose that God created us. Before we were ever born, and we're going to be going through Psalms 139 here, and I'll make another statement too. You can't get away from God. You can try, you can run, you can hide, you can do whatever you want. You cannot get away from God. And the interesting thing to me is that even when we were out in the world, before God really got a hold of us, God was involved in our lives. Just think about this tonight. Why are you here tonight? Why are you here tonight? Did you plan way back there that you were going to, you know, be here tonight? No. God was involved in your life. Even when we were away from the Lord, God was involved in our lives. And so you can't get away from God. He's always going to be on your case. He created us. He loves us. Loves us enough that He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. That's love. That's love. And the fact that He did that, He's not going to just turn us loose. Not without really working in our hearts and our lives. Psalms 139, beginning with verse 1. We're going to be taking these verses one by one here for a bit. It says, "O Lord, You have searched me and known me." You know, nothing is hidden from God. He knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows our motives. He knows everything about us. We can't hide anything from God. He searched me and He knows me. I don't even know myself. Peter didn't know himself. And yet, what did he do? He said, "I'll never betray you, Lord." He didn't know his own heart. And yet, he betrayed the Lord 3 times. In that verse 2, he said, "You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off." When you think about, you know, I'm sitting down or whether I'm rising up, you know, all my activities, you know, what my thoughts are, what my plans are, what my motives are. You understand all of that. And my thoughts were what I'm thinking about doing and so on and so forth. You understand all of that. Verse 3, you comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. There again you have it. He knows the direction that we're trying to go, what we're thinking about going. He knows our plan. He's acquainted with all of our ways. Nothing can be hidden from him. Verse 4, for there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Even before we speak it out, he knows what we're going to say. The devil can't do that, but God can, because he created us. So there's even the word on our tongue, the things that we're going to say, he knows what we're going to say. You know it altogether. Verse 5 there, you have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. This is an interesting one because, you know, you can put a hedge between you and the neighbor and kind of keep people from getting through. You know, that's what a hedge is kind of for. It's kind of like a fence almost. And God has a way of hedging in our way so that maybe we're thinking about going this direction, but God knows that's not good for us. So he hedges it up. I can remember when I was younger, when I was away from the Lord, and I wanted to go do this. But I couldn't do it. It's like God blocked my way, and it made me mad because he blocked me from doing the things that I wanted to do. You hedged me in behind and before, and you've laid your hand on me. God has his hand on our lives, and he's not going to turn loose of us. And verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I can't attain it. I can't even imagine how God can do something like this. This knowledge is too wonderful. It's high. His ways are higher than our ways. And he has a plan and a purpose, and this knowledge of how he's hedging me in. Even when I didn't know God, he was hedging me in and preparing me to get to where I am today, standing up here. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? How are you going to get away from God's spirit? God is everywhere. If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, you are there. I think about Jonah. Jonah was sent by the Lord with the task of preaching to Nineveh and giving them a time frame, and he was going to come down on them. Jonah didn't want to go there because Jonah hated Nineveh. The Ninevites were very, very wicked people, and they did terrible things to people. But God was sending him there, and Jonah didn't want to go. So you remember the story. He gets on the ship, and he heads the other direction. But what happens, they get in a big storm out there, and when it all comes down to they find out that he's the one that's responsible for all this. They throw him over. And what happened? God had prepared a fish for him. Some of the scientists today would say, oh, no, that's impossible. Well, I just watched a YouTube deal here a while back where a great big whale had a big old deal opened up and swallowed a whole kayak and one person or something like that. And then he ended up spitting them back out again. But, you know, yes, God could prepare a fish. But when did God prepare the fish? This had to be ahead of time. See, God knows our ways. He plans ahead of time. He goes before us. And he hedges us in. And he guides us in ways that we don't even imagine. sometimes. So Jonah was going to go to Nineveh before it was over. He spent, I think it was 3 days down there in that fish. The Bible talks about, I think he had seaweed wrapped around his head. And I mean, this was a miserable, miserable place. And of course he cried out to the Lord. And when he repented and let the Lord know he'd be willing to go do it, says the fish got up and spit him out on the land. You know, and so God has a way of getting our attention and getting us back on track. So even if you're down in the uttermost parts of the sea, God is there. Verse 10, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. You can't, God, the night shines like the day with God, and the darkness and the light are both alike to him. That's, darkness is nothing. It affects us, yes. We can't see the darkness. But God sure can. And verse 13, and I like this. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. We were created, I think about, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. This idea of fearfully, I get the picture of that we were created with a will. And so God didn't make a bunch of robots. If he did, what good would that do? What benefit would that be to him? He gave us a will. And so with that will comes the possibility that we could choose to go a different way than what God has for us. And so I think about that as fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. So we have the power of choice. In verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. God knows everything about us. He created us. He formed us. If you don't look the way you look, blame it on God. He created you that way. He loves you just the way he created you. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and your book, they all were written the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. So God even wrote a book about you. With all the things that he wanted to do in your life, his plan, his purpose for you, the book was written. And this is what God wants to accomplish in your life. He knows the day of your death. He knows the day. He knows all of that stuff. And it was all written in the book. Hallelujah. So God wrote a book about you. God wrote a book about you. Verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. When I think about the thoughts that he had, it says, how precious also are your thoughts to me. If they're precious to me, well, then they'd have to be good thoughts, right? So God has a lot of good thoughts for us. How great is the sum of them? Verse 18, if I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. So God's got great thoughts. He's speaking good things to you all the time. And when I wake, I'm still with you. When I'm sleeping, God was there. When I wake up, I'm still with you. But you know, one of our problems that we have, we like to be in control of our own lives. We don't like to give that control over to someone else. We're not really willing to allow someone else to tell us where we can go or what we can do or whatever. We like control. We like control. Proverbs 16:9 says, A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So we can plan something out. And I can remember in years past, when I wasn't serving the Lord, I can remember making plans. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Sorry. And as luck, the Lord dropped the big door in front of me, and I wasn't going that way. But the Lord directs my steps. He's the one that worked things out. I'll tell you just a little story about it. I was in Edmonds, Washington, and I was working for a plasterboard outfit. And during high school, I started working on sheetrock and doing that kind of stuff. And my boss ended up getting a job set up for Ketchikan, Alaska, to put new sheetrock in the new hospital they were building up there. Part of the problem was that the boss's brother, I was working with the boss's brother, but he was going to have another guy go with them up to Ketchikan on that job. And then if they needed me, they would call for me. Well, it ended up the other guy that was going to go with them had a heart attack and couldn't go. So I got to go. And, of course, that was God's plan. God worked it out. And what did he do? He brought me up to Ketchikan. He had a pastor waiting there, just exactly the right person that I needed to really draw me deeper into the Lord. Had a good church up there, and I met my wife to be up there. And, I mean, everything just kind of fell. I could not have planned that. I could not have purposed that. You see, the Lord directed my steps. And even when we didn't realize it, even like we didn't know that he was actually doing that, I had no idea that God was involved in my life. There he was, and he was doing that. And so that's just kind of the way it works. You know, the Lord directs our steps. Another thing, God has promised to help us and is very merciful. Some of us come from homes and different situations where our lives were pretty beat up. We did not have a good home. Maybe we came from parents, maybe they were drunk all the time or something, or maybe we got beat when we were kids, or we've gone through experiences where we were badly bruised up in this world. Isaiah 42, verses 3 and 4, says, "A bruised reed he will not break." You've been all bruised up, you're all battered, He's not going to break you. He's not going to break it. A smoking flax, he will not quench. You know, you think about that. Well, I have a light, you know. I have some light in my life. And maybe that light's just about gone out. Maybe it's just about, you know, it's right dim, almost out. He won't quench that. He won't quench that. That he will bring forth justice for truth. And Lord, we know we need justice in this nation. That he will bring justice for truth. And he will not fail nor be discouraged. If God is actively at work in your life, he's not going to fail. He's bigger than failure. He's bigger than the devil. He's bigger than your enemy that's trying to take you down. He will not fail. He will not fail. And he will not be discouraged. He will not be discouraged. Till he has established justice in the earth. And I think about, like I say, we need justice in our earth. And God's not going to fail. He's going to bring justice in our earth some point very quickly, I believe. And it says, in the coastlands will wait for his law. So God is merciful. And he doesn't really want anyone to go to hell. Micah 7, verses 18 and 19. Micah 7, verses 18 and 19. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. You see, we need to learn the ways of God, not just the acts of God. We need to learn the ways of God. God is merciful. We need to get that through our heads. God is merciful. He delights in mercy. In verse 19, he will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. Hallelujah. All of our wickedness, all of our sins and everything will be cast into the sea of his forgetfulness. He is still giving us space to repent. He's still giving us space to repent. He's giving us time to turn from the direction that we've been going. And we can turn to him. And he's willing to have mercy on us. And we need to understand God's ways. But one thing I want to mention is this. God always gives a heads up. God always gives a heads up. What do I mean by that? Amos 3, verse 7. Says, surely the Lord God does nothing. Not just something or anything. Nothing. The Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. And if you read the Old Testament, you'll see where when Israel was sinning and everything, he sent prophets to them. He sent prophets to them, warning them, trying to get them to turn to the Lord. And he does nothing except he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Every major event that happened in Scripture was first made known by the prophets. And when you think especially about the many prophecies about the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15, coming in the future, the seed of the woman that would destroy the works of the devil. It would bruise the serpent's head and he would bruise his heel. There's many, 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 many prophecies in the Old Testament that tell exactly about the Christ, about his coming. And the Son of God came at just the right time to be a spotless lamb, to shed his blood on the cross and pay for our redemption and freedom from our sins, and to bring us into the family of God. And when we recognize that we are sinners and that he died for us, and we ask for forgiveness and receive him as Lord of our lives, he forgives us and brings us into a personal relationship with him. So God always gives us a heads up. Number two, God is merciful and he's not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he's doing that right now in our nation even. In this day and hour, God is holding back his wrath concerning our nation because of his mercy. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell, and he's willing to forgive any sin. But he is just. And at some time, the cup of iniquity over individuals and our nations will be full, and he will have to act, respond accordingly. So, God promised Abraham that he would give his descendants the land in the future because the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full, not complete. It wasn't going to be for 400 years. So, he wasn't going to just give them the land because he kicked the people out. No, the people were wicked, but he was giving them space to repent. And of course, he knew that they probably wouldn't repent. And so he was going to drive them out and take care of them. So in the fourth generation they shall return there, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. Genesis 6:3 says, the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So it talks there about the spirit. He's not going to strive with us forever. And we don't know when that ever is. We don't know when that time might come. So we don't want to be in a place where God is striving with us and we're not willing to yield. Because at some point, the other shoe will fall and we'll be in deep trouble. And just like the prophecies foretelling future events in the Bible, God has prophets today that are declaring things that God is and will be doing in our nation to turn it back to God. Now you can look, some people look at that and say, well, how can you believe the prophets? They're mixed up. They're all, you know the old story. You hear them. But God has prophets today that are declaring the things that God is and will be doing in our nation to turn it back to God. And it's very important that we seek God's direction for our lives, believe Him, draw close to Him, and trust in His promises to us. It's really important that we do that. Psalms 37, verses 3 through 11, says, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. That's one of the things that we need to do is to trust. Trust. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. So what is it? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in the way. Oh, that's an easy one that's one that can really hang us up. You know, look at this guy over here. He's the most ungodly person around, yet he's rich. He's got riches. Everything seems to be going in his favor and everything. Don't fret because of him who brings wicked schemes or prospers in the way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Causes harm to you. Causes harm to me. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So we need to have patience. We need to have patience. That after we've done the will of God, we might receive the promise that He's promised to us. Psalms 37, verses 23 and 24 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And the word he is a capital H, which means God's delights in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and God delights in the way that he's going. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Hallelujah. So we need to have confidence that God is able to do that which he's promised us. Hallelujah. So put your confidence in God's ability to work with us to accomplish His will in our lives and in our nation. The prophets have declared some good things over our country, and we need to just keep believing Him and give Him time to accomplish His purposes. In His mercy, He's given people time to repent before judgment falls on those who rebel against His plans for America. Remain steadfast in prayer. Luke 10:24. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. They, prophets back there, they would have loved to live in our day. They would have loved to live in our day. And some of us, oh man, what a terrible place we're living in. You know, it's like we're, oh, this is just terrible. Well, you have to see it from God's perspective. And you have to see what God is going to do. When Israel went into the promised land, there was giants they had to face. And this promised land, going into the promised land, it wasn't like going to heaven. No, the promised land was going into the inheritance that God has for us. And there were giants in the land that we have to take out. So I believe we are privileged to live in a time and see with our eyes the greatest move of God that this world has ever experienced. I believe this is something that God has saved up for this day and hour in the midst of the wickedness of the world, in the midst of darkness of the world. We're going to have multitude, millions, they're talking about a billion souls getting saved over the next 4 years or thereabouts. Praise God. With millions coming into the kingdom and signs and wonders being done, there's going to be so many miracles and different things that's going to happen. And if we believe and walk close to Him and be obedient, we'll be a part of it. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, I want to be a part of it. I want to be like Joshua and Caleb. Yes, we can take the land. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. See, God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And only you can fill the plan that He has for you. And I can fill the plan that God has for me. God is with us. He will not forsake us. Look up, for your redemption draws near. So who are you? You're a son or a daughter of God, and He has great plans for you. If you will believe Him and yield your life to Him, that's what He's looking for. And that's what He's, I believe there's going to be some religious leaders that are going to be, go down the tube. There's some big churches that are probably going to collapse because of the direction that they're taking. We are not to be like the world. We're to be a separate people, holy unto the Lord. And so we want to make sure that we are on the right side, that we are walking with God and believing God. And when we do that, it's going to be a real exciting time for us. So I hope that that kind of could give you a little bit of encouragement. God is faithful, and He will bring things to pass that He wants to accomplish. And we just need to keep believing. And He's working in your life even when you don't see Him, when you don't think He is. He's not going to turn loose of you. He's going to keep on working and keep on working and keep on doing stuff. So you might as well just give it up and say, okay, Lord, I'm ready. Take me, use me, you know, put me where you want me to be, and we'll go from there. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you will just have your way in each life here. I pray, God, that you will encourage your people. Lord, that you will give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Lord, and I pray that we will be willing, that we will be able and willing to follow what you want us to do. And Lord, we just delight ourselves in you tonight. We give you glory. We give you praise. We thank you, God, because you are able to do exceeding abundant above and beyond what we can ask or think. So we commit our ways into your hands. We pray for the other ones that weren't able to be here tonight. We pray, Lord, for our church, God, that you will move on their hearts. We pray your blessings on Pastor and Jesus, Lord, and be with them, Lord, in a special way. Let your presence be with them, Lord, And just let your name be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. Amen.